Mother's Day to all of our mothers. It's good to see you today. How are y'all doing? A few of you doing good, the others you're not quite sure yet. Okay. Well, it's good to see all of you today. Glad that you're here. Well, the first thing I want to do is all women, if you have a wallet, satchel, bag, or purse, or whatever, lift it up. Everybody lift up whatever you brought with you today. Hold it up. Hold it up. You got it? I know some of them are heavy. I know. Okay. Look around the room. Who's got the biggest bag? Oh, my goodness. We got some close. I think we got a... I got a winner in the back. Okay. Best prepared woman in the room. I'm going to give it to Anita today. Give her a hand. My wife has her suitcase that she carries with her all the time, too. And I know how heavy it is because I get to carry it once in a while. It takes a lot of stamina for this boy to carry a purse through the middle of a mall. Anyway, one other thing I want to know, how many of you women, you got to raise your hand if you've done this, if you have ever licked a hanky, napkin, piece of cloth, shirt sleeve, or something to clean a child's dirty mess? Raise it up high. Very good. Thank you, ladies. Now, for those of you who haven't done that yet, I want you to practice, okay? And in behalf of all women out in the foyer, you've probably discovered these already, you have a choice of your personal packet to be prepared whenever you have an emergency, okay? So enjoy, and thank you, all women, for all the blessings that you are to us. Thank God for women, and thank God for mothers. All of us had a mother, amen? Thank God for mothers. All of you women who raised your hand, you get the Spitshine Award. Okay. God blessed every one of us with a mother. Mothers normally carry their child in their womb approximately 9 months. Right? And some women have more of a struggle than others. But in 1945, February the 21st, 1945, Beulah Hunter delivered a baby girl after over 1 year of carrying that little girl in her womb. Can you imagine what she was going through? My goodness. But the baby was delivered, very healthy and happy. So praise God for that. Now, most women are glad to make it through the challenge of just carrying one child. But some women have the challenge of maybe carrying twins or triplets. And praise God for them. But then there are some unique people. What's the world record on women carrying babies that survive? Any numbers you want to throw out there? 10. In 2021, a 37-year-old woman in South Africa had 10 babies by C-section. And I saw a picture of her, all of her. And praise God for making it through that. But wow. I think in America, I think it's something like 6 or 7, 8, somewhere in there. But praise God for women. God designed you to be the bearers of children. Men can't do that in spite of what popular people are trying to tell us today. God gave this gift, this ability to women and women alone, and thank God for them. Many women are never able to bear their own children. And some of you here have had that challenge. But praise God that you can still be a blessing to the people around you. You can be a blessing to others who have had children. When we read the scriptures, Mary and Joseph took their newborn baby Jesus, 8 days old, to the temple to dedicate him. And who did they meet? When they got there, 84-year-old Anna was there to celebrate the arrival of the Messiah. And she gave praise to God at 84 years old. We're not told that she had any children. She had lost her husband early, and she had spent her life dedicated to worshiping God, celebrating God, and she was waiting for the Messiah, and she was able to celebrate Jesus. When I went to college, we had a young woman there serving as our nurse, a sweet, beautiful young lady at the time, and she never did marry, but she took all of us college boys and girls in under her wing as her kids. And she is still holds a special place in my heart as dorm mom. And she will always hold that place because she took care of us. She was a blessing to us, even when she had none of her own children. All women can be a blessing. They can be used by God. I was thinking about these songs that we were singing. So many things about Jesus Christ. You women are a reflection of Jesus Christ. You're beautiful. You're gracious. You're kind. You're merciful. Those are characteristics of our Savior. And you reflect Jesus Christ in so many ways. Keep it up. Keep growing in those aspects, those blessings that God has given you. Mothers endure the discomforts of trials, the tantrums, the pains, and the rebellions of their children that were entrusted to them. All of our mothers dealt with a variety of challenges raising us. How many heartaches did your mother go through raising you? I know I put some gray hair on my mom and even turned white. It didn't stop at gray. Mothers... Some mothers do better at taking the responsibility of raising their children better than others. But still, we thank God for moms. Napoleon wrote about his mother, who was a very strong-willed woman. He said of his mother, "My opinion is that the future good or bad conduct of a child depends entirely on its mother." I may disagree with that a little bit, but moms have a huge influence on how their children will turn out. A powerful preacher from long ago in London, England, named Richard Cecil, wrote about the influence his mother had on his life, saying that when he was a youth, he tried his hardest to become an infidel, but because of his mother's beautiful and eloquent Christianity, it was too much for him. He had to become a Christian and serve Jesus Christ. He couldn't answer why that happened, but it happened. Whatever influence our mothers had on us, we should still thank God that they were patient and dedicated in passing life on to each one of us. They gave us life from the Creator. They are the vessel that God used. Today, we can all learn lessons from a woman who is recorded in Scripture, who was mocked, who was tormented and ridiculed for many years because she could never have a baby. But in God's time, she proved to be a righteous woman and a mother. If you want to go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 Samuel, but before we read this passage, I would like to ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for mothers. I thank you for my mom, for all that she endured with us kids and many, many others. And I thank you for all of our women. They are special, every single one of them. Each of us are unique. You have made each of us special and with special gifts and talents and abilities. Thank you for these gifts. And thank you for using women to pass these gifts along to each one of us. Father, we thank you that you love us so much and designed family. You designed motherhood. You designed the factor of how we are to engage with society as family. And we just pray for wisdom to learn from the examples of scriptures and to practice those things for your glory. Father, help us to learn lessons from the life of Hannah. As we read this passage of scripture, help us to see the qualities and the nature and the good things that we are all called to practice, to improve upon for your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, reading from the New American Standard Translation. I'm going to read quite a few verses here from 1 down through 11, then we'll skip, and I'll tell you when we're going to skip and where to. Now there was a certain man from Ramath-Ziphon from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zeph, the Ephraimite. I don't know why I read verse 1. I should have summarized that one, shouldn't I? Anyway, moving on. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat and why is your heart so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Then Hannah rose from eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor will never come on his head." Let's skip down to verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." Verse 20. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Verse 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Verse 27 and 28. "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Verse 8, "He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed." We're going to stop there. I want to pull out some different thoughts from the story of Hannah and Samuel. The first is that righteous people keep their priorities straight. Righteous people keep their priorities straight. First things first. That's a name of a new modern song, contemporary Christian song. Failure to keep our priorities straight will lead to confusion, frustration, and eventually destruction. Living requires prioritizing in everything that we do around us. When you're driving down the road, you got to do first things first. Whenever you're cooking, you don't want to get your things in the wrong order or your food will turn out really bad. Ask me. I'm an expert on getting things the wrong way. In your work, in your construction, and in your daily personal life, things must be done in the right priority. Hannah's first priority was to love and to serve God in faith. That was her first priority. We see it over and over again in this passage that she loved and she served God in faith. In all of her trials and frustrations, she remained devoted to God. You don't see any record of her lashing out to others, but instead, she earnestly and fervently laid her heart out before Almighty God, sharing her concerns and her grievances with her Creator. Her husband's polygamy wasn't right. She was getting old. She was turning into an old woman without any kids. Her barrenness was interpreted as a curse. The competing wife's constant taunting and provoking wasn't fair and it wasn't right, but Hannah was devoted to worship and to trust God for her help. She understood that God was her only help, God was her comfort, and God was her provider. For us, when troubles and trials overwhelm us, are we devoted to turn to God, or do we lash out at the people around us and accuse the people instead of laying our concerns at the throne, at the foot of God, and finding help from Him? Point B, Hannah's second priority was to be a faithful wife to Elkanah. We're not told why the man had two wives, but also note that no hint of disrespect, no complaint, no unfaithfulness is identified in the actions or the nature of Hannah. She walked in righteousness. Now, Satan encourages us to get angry, to argue, to slander, to falsely accuse, and do all kinds of things when we are in a trialsome situation. Watch out for those traps. Satan loves to catch us. Hunger and thirst after God's way, after God's truth, after God's life. And he has given us clear directions in the Scripture on what marriage should be for us as New Testament believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gives us clear directions on how our marriage should be. For you who are women, who are married, Proverbs 31, verses 10 and following is a wonderful passage of direction for you to be a woman of highest character. There is a lot there, and pray that God can use you to to become one of those special women. Hannah's third priority became rearing righteous children who would be devoted to God. Children are a gift from God. We are clearly told that God is the source of life. He is the one who gives children to parents, and they are to be then trained in God's truth. Over and over again through the scriptures, we see this practice, this principle, these truths that any children that are given are to be honoring of God. Hannah understood that everything belongs to who? Belongs to God, even children. Take time to read her entire praise there in chapter 2, the first 10 verses, ladies and guys. It's for us too. But just listen to and just digest the words of Hannah as she celebrates God and in the devotion of Samuel to the work of God. Hannah willingly devoted her greatest desire, a child, devoted that child to God before she even had any evidence that she would receive a child. She said, "The child is yours. If you give it to me, he's yours. God, we want a blessing, but he is your blessing. The child is yours." God deserved the gift. It was his to begin with, and he deserved to receive it in return, in the attitude of Hannah. We all need to keep our priorities straight. Keep God first in all things. Those of us who are married, keep our marriage strong. And the rest of us need to support the marriage principles God gives to us in Scripture. Our culture is throwing marriage under the bus, allowing all kinds of perversions. That is not God's plan. And we need to honor the plan that God gave to us. We need to respect it, and we need to protect it as much as we possibly can. The third priority is raise children that God does give to us in the glory of God. Fourth, be careful how we treat the people around us. Love other people. And last, ourself. Our culture has it all backwards. Do what you want to do. Become what you want to be. And if you have time, help your people. Help your spouse. But you can get out of that arrangement if you want to. You can get a divorce. And if you ever get around to it, maybe you might want to worship God once in a while, read it on your dollar bill or whatever. Our culture has everything backwards. And we need to be the people of God, getting it His way. Do it His way. God first, others second, ourself last. Let's move along. The second point I want to deal with, pull from this passage, is that righteous, devoted people keep their promises. Keep our promises. Our words must always be true. God hears all of our words, and the Scripture tells us we will be judged by our words. We need to be sure that if we make a promise, we keep those promises. Hannah remembered her promise to God. She was very sincere about making the promise to begin with. She understood that the Lord, who fulfilled her request, would expect her to keep her word. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 3, the end of that, "For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed." God is checking what our response will be. Her response to God's gift was being weighed. What was she going to do if God did finally open her womb and give her a child? Would she follow through with giving her child totally to God like she said she would? She was being checked. And we are being checked on our responses of how we deal with our words. God will hold us accountable And we need to remember that as we go through life, that we always keep the words and the promises we make. Make sure that we are honoring God to begin with and then follow through. Hannah rejoiced in fulfilling her promise to God as she presented Samuel to Eli there in the end of chapter 1. She credits God for this gift and fully surrenders her only son to the work of God with no strings attached. Now that's a tough one. She prayed for a child, she received the child, and she totally dedicated Samuel to the work of God, not knowing whether she would ever see him again. She hoped she would see him again. She loved him. We're going to look at that. Hannah was a joyful giver, returning back to God his gift to her. Samuel was a gift from God, and she promised, "I will give him back to you." And she follows through with that. Hannah celebrated God's grace and his kindness that enabled her to become a mother of one. And she was thankful for that one child. But she had promised to give him back, and she kept her promise. We need to remember to be a joyful giver. Isn't that what the scriptures call for us to be? A joyful giver? I think the word in the Greek in the New Testament is a hilarious giver. Just overwhelmed with joy. And how many times do we hold back and or we might be reluctant about what we're doing? No. Where did it all come from to begin with? Everything comes from God. And he just asked for us to give back a small portion of what he first gave us. After all, the New Testament teaches it is more blessed to give than what? To receive. We need to learn that pattern in our daily life, joyfully giving to the work of God. Hannah saw that God was glorified when she kept her word. She served the God of blessing who gave her this boy to begin with when it appeared that it was hopeless. God gave her hope when there was no end to the tunnel. It seemed like nothing was working. She prayed in celebration of the giver of life. Note her last words in verse 10 of chapter 2. Verse 10 reads, "Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king." Let's just stop right there for a second. Was there a king in Israel at this point? No. It was her son who would eventually anoint the first and second king. And yet she is in the ecstasy of praising God. God is using her to prophesy. Looking at the last phrase, "and will exalt the horn of his anointed." The word anointed, there's another word for that. Messiah. She was talking about the future Messiah. God using her. She prayed in celebration of the giver of life, noting that God was the giver of Messiah, the Savior for all. Let's keep our words, our promises that honor God. Make sure that all the things that we say honor God to begin with. And he will use us for his glory, just as he used Hannah. The third aspect of this message is that righteous, devoted people continue to love God and others. I've seen so many people who, after a while, they give up on their love of God. God didn't do it my way, and so I'm not going to worship him anymore. I'm going to quit going to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites down there at that church, and I just don't love God anymore. He doesn't really exist because it didn't go my way. Do we see that attitude in Hannah? No. She worships God even more. After He has given her this gift, she loves God more. Hannah did not regret the sacrifice of dedicating her son to God. She left Samuel behind with her heart celebrating the giver of life and worshiping her Creator. She was thankful for the loving God, the God of heaven, who gave life, who gave her the answer to her prayer, who gave her this short period of blessing. Hannah continued loving everyone. She loved God. She loved her husband, Elkanah. Samuel, of course, the little baby that she was able to raise for a couple years. And even the other wife of her husband. That other woman, yeah, she loved her too. Unlike the wives of Jacob in Genesis 29, we find no record of squabbling. There's no record of rivalry, no record of complaint from Hannah. She was glad just to have one baby for a short period of time, and love ruled her heart. Hannah loved her absent son. Chapter 2, verse 19 records that she was always preparing another robe for him. Every stitch and every seam was filled with love, thinking about her child that God had blessed her with. And she was not doing it to reclaim her son. It wasn't an attachment to bring him back to her, but to support him, to show that she wanted the best for him. She believed that God had work for him to do. After all, God is the giver of life. He has plans for every one of us, the scripture says. And she believed that God had a plan for her little baby that she had dedicated to God. And she supported that plan, and she would do what she could to help in the process. Jesus commissions us to be loving as He was. Let's live love. The fourth point of this message is that God continues to bless His righteous, devoted people. God is the Lord of life. He owns everything. He does not run out of goodness. He pours out abundant blessings when He sees fit, on whom He sees fit. He always keeps His promises, and God is always the ruler forever. Amen? So as we look at this, God continued providing more children to Hannah, even when she did not ask for any more. She only asked for one son, and she devoted him to God's work. But God, who is full of rich mercies, blessings, and abundance, gave her three more boys and two more little girls. Wow. After years of waiting and waiting and waiting, in God's time, God showed His pleasure to her unselfish sacrifice and her devotion. After those years of waiting, the abundance of God was provided in His time. We must practice patience in honoring God. We never know what God has planned for us. It seems like things are going like routine and mundane, and when is are things going to happen? What am I doing for the glory of God? Well, don't give up. God has a plan, and He will use you in His time for His glory if you remain faithful. Amen? Hannah was blessed to see Samuel become God's prophet and His spokesman of righteousness. Samuel became the voice of God in a land that was filled with corruption. In chapter 2, verse 26, we see that Samuel grew up in favor with God and with the people. God spoke through Samuel. God eventually used him to do what? anoint the first and the second kings of Israel, Saul and then David. Parents, are we like Hannah? Let us pray for our children and our grandchildren that they will be used by God as the light and as the salt in this world that is overflowing with sin. Our days are numbered. Will our children and grandchildren carry on the torch of Jesus Christ? We need to pray for them and support them and encourage them to do that. Will God use your child as a leader of righteousness? Pray that God will do His will with your child. What are you doing to support that possibility? How are you encouraging those around you and other children to grow up to serve God? God provided Christ for us to live in righteousness and total devotion to Him. The door of opportunity of salvation is given to us. Brother Bob talked about we receive the kiss of Christ when we obey His pattern, His plan. He expects each of us to keep our priorities straight. Love God, love other people, starting with the family order, in the right order, to fulfill our word, to keep our promises to the Lord of truth. By living the standards that Jesus and the apostles gave us, to be prepared for who? The return of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. He is coming back, and we need to be ready. God uses mothers in this world to start that process. Mothers, thank you once again. Brothers and sisters, let's serve God. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the many stories, the examples in Scripture of righteousness, of perseverance, of dedication, of holiness. Thank you for the story of Hannah and her commitment to honor you, to give up everything she received from you, and that you were faithful and blessed her even more. Help us to look at our lives and to see how you have blessed us and to see what you want us to do in the future. We pray your blessing upon our children, our grandchildren. Help us to do all we can to encourage them to be your people, to lift up the name of the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.